real or it's real, but it ain't exactly fair. From the war against disorder, from the silence night and day, from the fires of the hunger, from the ashes of the king, democracy is coming to the USA.
Way to go, ladies and gentlemen. We're here live, 5x5, around the world. I want to let you know that we got a little problem here this morning. Some of the shows were being broadcast around the world, and we had a little problem with the phone bridge picking up the signal. Finally, somebody let me know here in the States that we had a minor problem. We do have a little echo down there. I understand that, and we're taking care of that. That echo should dissipate. Bobby, I know that you're working hard in New Zealand. I want to welcome all the guys out there in Kazan, Russia that are listening today, as well as the new listeners that are down in Caracas, Venezuela. We got the IM letting us know that we got a couple of Canadians at the coffee house listening to the show today. Welcome to... welcome, and thank you for allowing us to participate in getting the truth around the world. Today's show is a little intriguing. It's a little different than what we normally do. We're going to have a two-hour show for presentation today, Wednesday, the 27th day of August, 2008. We normally, as you all know, we normally only have a one-hour show. But we're going to do a two-hour show today, a two-hour show tomorrow with Dr. Judy Wood from areas of the world. And Dr. Judy Wood is one of those research analysts that I've discovered through a friend of mine out of Arizona who sent me an email one day and says, you know, this lady's got some intriguing information that needs to be brought out. So I went to her website, I looked at it, and that brings forth the quote for today, which I've used and you've seen many times on the news and views, from Martin Luther King. A time comes when silence is betrayed. And that's exactly what's happened on September the 11th, 2001. It's what happened at the Murrell Building back in 1995. And it's what happened in Waco. We haven't been getting the truth from our government through the last two presidents who have sat in office. And it all began with the third president, three presidents back, George Herbert Walker Bush, a direct descendant of a Nazi. Now, I want you all to know, ladies and gentlemen, where I stand personally as a United States Marine, and to all my Marine buddies in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, Camp Butler, Hawaii, all retirees in Caracas, Venezuela, and yeah, welcome London, 5x5 out of London this morning. My IMs are coming in. I appreciate you guys sending them in. We're letting you know that, you know, my personal feelings are we've been lied to as America. And hopefully, if all of the connections work properly, we have Dr. Judy Woods online with us this morning. And I'm inviting her in to come in and give her personal commentaries about what she sees as a physicist, and let you all know that Dr. Woods is not appreciated by a few people out there, but she's appreciated by this Marine and by those that want the truth and want to see the truth come out. From her website, drjudywood.com, you will find all kinds of information. And we're going to invite Dr. Woods to come on here and give us her discussions about the events of September the 11th, 2001, and the government cover-up. Good morning, Dr. Wood.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, 100%.
So as you had said, a time comes when silence is betrayal. The Martin Luther King quote, and that time came for me.
Yeah, oh, I found it on your site this morning, and I was beaming left and right.
That's what I told my students when I started putting this material on my class webpage. In a particular section, you know, it was optional for folks to look at, but I could no longer keep my mouth shut. And I know that, you know, officials as well as military, as well as foreign-born who are naturalized citizens, take that oath to swear to uphold the Constitution and defend the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, I have assumed that oath myself. I don't know what applies to U.S.-born citizens, but I believe that we're all to abide by that, to defend this country and this world against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we need to get to the bottom of what happened. Something terrible happened that day. And it comes from looking at the evidence where you learn what happened. And there's various tricks that I've noticed have been used to dissuade people from looking at the actual evidence, including, as you noticed, that I am typically not welcome in the 9/11 community, because that has, you know, they all have one answer, and my answer is different. Now, what I started out looking at on that day was, you know, what looked like a sweater unraveling on the TV set. Buildings don't unravel like a sweater, and in that short amount of time. They told us that this collapse happened like a pancake, one floor to the next to the next. And so I went through some quick calculations, and there's no way. And if you start thinking about it, if one floor has to drop to the next one before the next floor can start moving, it bumps it and that floor starts moving, and each floor, when it hits the next one, goes flat into dust, and that's what we saw, then it just barely knocks the next one loose. Well, that's like 100 seconds. That's a minute and a half, not 10 seconds. Actually, the official report said it was 9 seconds for one of the towers and 11 for the other. That's the official report. In a vacuum, with no air resistance, to drop a bowling ball off the roof, it would take 9.22 seconds to hit the pavement down below. So how could a building go away in 9 seconds? And then you start looking at the site, just keep looking around at all the pictures. And I gathered hundreds, literally thousands of pictures, and feel that I know where each piece of paper even was.
Dr. Wood, I have an IM here from one of the girls from San Diego, Marine Corps Air Station Miramar. Her husband is serving as a commanding officer of a unit in Iraq, and she's very in tune to what you're having to say. The fact that her husband's life is on the line, and she wants to ask you a question right up front. It says here, Dr. Woods, what we saw after getting out of high school at the time, what you're saying is, was this a play of information being on the television like a drama of events to sway America into doing something?
Right on. That's the conclusion I have come to.
Okay.
It didn't take me long to come to that.
She says here she was 17 at the time, and she had no clue of the matters. When she married her husband, she went back and started looking and investigating this for herself, and now she's got a group of about 27 women in San Diego area that are trying to do their due diligence and did not know of you. How long have you had your website up, and is there a contact information? Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is contact information. I'll tell you that right up front, and we'll get into that later on the show. Kind of hold off some of these IMs. I've got about 20 already, and Dr. Wood hadn't even started talking. Dr. Wood, please go ahead.
Based on what she had said, yeah, there's more to that. On day one, I thought it was like a war of the worlds that radio hoax that was played, the Orson Welles. And
correct.
I thought it was the video version of that on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't real. So I thought one way of testing that is to call my mother, who lives near the Pentagon. And if the Pentagon really had been attacked, she should be able to look outside and look up and see if there's fighter jets. She looked out, nope, no fighter jets. So we were beginning to conclude that it was just a hoax on TV. And it's how you initially went into this event really affected what you saw through your own eyes. So I saw through my eyes this as a hoax. It didn't make sense physically. The data didn't check out with what my mother had noticed. But then, you know, I just recently started a new position, and I didn't want to stick my neck out because I didn't want to lose my job. And I think that's how a lot of people felt. There's a great deal of pressure on people to keep their mouth shut. Meanwhile, this fairy tale keeps seeping in, and people start repeating it. It's very expensive. The biggest thing that, you know, tells me it was a psychological operation is that X number of years after that, here I am asking, you know, looking at the photos that were taken 15 minutes after the towers went away, I'm asking, where did the building go? Why hasn't anyone asked that before now? Where'd the building go?
What do you mean, where'd the building go? I mean, are you talking about the debris?
By noon on 9/11, the building was gone. It was at ground level or lower.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
It was gone. If you look on my homepage, you'll see there's a row of pictures.
And that's, ladies and gentlemen, her webpage is drjudywood.com, and yes, there is an array of pictures there.
As the billiard ball example, to begin with, that's the timing. If somebody wants to stop and look at the timing, aside from looking at the horror pictures, it allows you to think without having to go through the pre-programmed response of how horrible it was. But once you get over that and start actually looking at the pictures as evidence, you see a lot. Okay, the end of that row, there's a picture. And
of the dust?
It says lack of sufficient debris. And if you click on that, you go to page 6 of this series.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And that picture is down that page a bit. It's I'm going to be renumbering the figures, but the old number would be 87D, figure 87D, partway down the page, where you see there's just this lack of debris. Everything's pretty much ground level. And 87D was taken on 9/11, somewhere, you know, around noon, or you can tell from the shadows, but you see across from you, Building 7 is still standing. That building went boof at around 5:20 p.m. that day. And it's still standing, so we know what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we should have a 110-story building between us and Building 7. And you don't see it. You see Building 6, which is an 8-story building. But, you know, where'd the tower go? Where'd it go? And you start looking around, you cannot come up with enough material to account for it.
Well, I have a question here. This morning, I had I personally got a video on a barometric bomb procedure that's been classified as top secret, and it's still listed as top secret, but it's being leaked out. Do you have any knowledge of that with the possible use on that particular day?
Well, that's a good thing to bring up. Before you figure out how it was done, you have to figure out what happened. You have to look at what the evidence tells you. And if you look at the evidence long enough, it tells you exactly what happened. You don't need to do any guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're easily, as humans, funneled into this multiple choice. And our culture teaches us multiple choice tests. What happens if the choice is not multiple choice? It's not on the list. It's something else. How would we recognize that if we're busy just choosing off of a menu that we're presented? So if we look at what happened, then we'll recognize how it was done. We become real familiar with that. You know, then after you get to looking at all the evidence, you can easily pick and choose and, you know, throw out a whole bunch of the possibilities. For example, you see a whole lot of unburned paper all over the streets. It's paper and fine dust. The dust looks like it's pretty much uniform size. And then you have paper, unburned paper. So whatever it is does not do something to paper, but does something to everything else, which is a pretty bizarre characteristic.
That is, because when you look at Hiroshima, there was no paper around Hiroshima.
There was nothing.
Nothing. I mean, it was nothing. So when you point this fact out about paper all over the streets, you know, nobody's ever mentioned that in conversations that I've done in the past with other physicists and other investigators. They other than pointing out different places on the building showing stuff wasn't burned, but I never realized that in New York that there was a lot of paper in the streets everywhere. Paper, just regular paper.
Right, that blew out and floated wherever, you know, like paper airplanes, just went all over the place. And then there was fine powder. And if you have a bomb that explodes stuff, you get big chunks, little chunks, in between size chunks, you know, a variety of sizes. But here we found all fine powder and paper.
That's a point that's been brought up a couple of times with some people that I've discussed the Pentagon. There weren't any big chunks like if there had been an airplane of any size hit the side of the Pentagon, there would be chunks of concrete, large chunks of concrete all over the place, as well as reinforced rebarb, but there weren't any. And that
you'd see plane parts, too.
And you would see plane parts and luggage everywhere, much less body parts. Body parts would be everywhere, but there wasn't any.
You know, pieces of the headrest or whatever, you know, just pieces all over the place. I think we're all pretty much familiar with NASCAR races and what happens when there's a wreck. Things start flipping and spinning and, you know, stuff goes everywhere. The car starts tumbling. If it hits the wall.
I have an IM here from a Marine out of Kansas City who says specifically an airplane crash in Kansas back in the 90s where the plane itself cartwheeled across the runway in a massive ball. There were actually survivors, and debris from the plane was spread over 50 acres.
Wow, that is a beautiful term, cartwheel. That's what it does. It cartwheels.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was trying to think of with the NASCAR analogy. But, yeah, cartwheeling. And if you have a plane coming in at 45 degrees to the Pentagon, the right wing is going to hit first, and that thing's going to start cartwheeling horizontally. Vertically, pieces are going to be flying every which way. And with every plane crash I've seen, there's always a carcass left, you know, the fuselage. A big chunk of it here or there that's recognizable. But you don't see anything like that. It just disappears.
It does. In your personal feelings, I mean, I've got four or five, I shouldn't say a dozen, I've probably got a dozen here, from Marines that are in, that are pilots or work in the protection of military bases around the United States, and they say that, my question to you is, on the first day of these events, on 9/11, you made an apropos point that you called your mother in Washington and there was no protection jets flying around, no fighter jets, nothing flying around. Obviously, there wasn't anything, no fighter jets of any kind flying around New York City because we have helicopters that were in the sky shooting pictures, but there was not any jets in the sky flying any form of protection. My question to you, Dr. Woods, is this was this was not anything brought out by the news media. Do you have a reasoning for that? Because you feel that there was some agenda of hiding that information from the people?
Well, I try not to speculate, but I look at the evidence and, you know, what they reported. What they reported in the newspapers with the official story, and we also heard about it on the TV set, is all planes were ordered to land. They were told to land as soon as possible. Then there it came a point where they're told that they had to land immediately, and this included military aircraft, except for, quote, some top secret missions.
Well, what kept the helicopters around New York City flying all day?
No one asked that. That was a big question I had as to what were they doing there if they were grounded. Are those the top secret missions they were telling us about? And the most peculiar thing is, you know, both towers went poof, and 120 seconds, no, it was 2 minutes, after the second tower went poof, military aircraft could take off again.
And I, you know, that blows me away, because in what you're saying here, this relates to the fact that what happened to the recognizable debris and the verifiable debris in Pennsylvania, at the Pentagon, and in Washington, D.C., I mean, in New York City itself, there should have been some debris of the aircraft in large chunks everywhere. But they're trying to tell me that it was all burnt up?
And if they have a mid-air collision of two aircraft and parts go every which way, they can even tell which part goes to which plane because they have part numbers on them.
That's true.
But, you know, every so often, these parts, after so many, you know, hours of air flight, this part, that part has to be changed. And there's a very accurate log of this kind of thing.
I remember an aircraft crash back in the late 70s, an L-1011 that crashed, and they took parts off of that L-1011. The only L-1011 that ever crashed, they took parts off of the L-1011 and were putting those parts on other L-1011s as replacement parts, and there were ghost reports by stewardesses and that saw images when they would work on when they would prepare a dinner, or they would look out of a specific mirror or something around the aircraft. But when they disputed those sightings, it was always parts from this other aircraft that had crashed. And yet we're being told, because of these events on 9/11, there were no aircraft parts left over, no recognizable debris. Now, these questions are brought out in your webpage very specifically, and the dust that you point out here is round little balls of dust, and that's something that I've not seen before.
I'm not sure which one you're talking about. The
one that on your webpage discusses the analysis. No, it's on the main page. It's the last one on the first row.
That picture of the first row just shows it's flat there.
On the first, I've got to look at it again. I had it
page. In the upper left corner of my webpage.
It's the
snowball picture.
No, it's the one under molecular dissolution.
Okay. Those are oranges.
Oh, is that what that is? It looks like dust.
It's a fruit stand.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I didn't.
It looks like a fresh snowfall of gray snow.
My link does not allow me to go to that picture, believe it or not. I'm actually having difficulty in getting back and forth to your website. I'm being blocked from Arkansas, and that's not uncommon for this DSL service here. I get that when I start doing a lot of investigation.
We can look at just the home page, and there's a lot of thumbnails on there that take you to the various series. How this is organized is the horizontal row. There's various pictures. You click on them, it'll take you to that page of the series.
Yes, ma'am.
And if you look at molecular dissociation from dust to dirt, that row, the first picture in that row, is a piece of steel beam falling that never hit the ground. It's dissolving like ice cream dissolving.
Well, the way in that first picture on that row, I see it appears that that particular twin tower is leaning off approximately 22 degrees to the left, and that would assume to me.
This isn't a tipping top picture. This is it's just you're looking between two buildings, and you see a section of building falling, and it's just trailing dust.
Right. And this is dust at the top. This is dust right at the beginning of everything. And that brings out another question.
Oh, you're talking about the tipping top. I don't see that picture on the homepage, but that's a good topic to bring up because the top of Tower 2, the top 35 floors or so, tipped over. And it looked like it started to fall, and then it just turned to dust, and it never hit the ground either.
Okay, I'm being told that we've got to go to a break, and we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in just about 4 minutes.
For the perfect diet, odds are you'll find the Holy Grail before you find a diet that works. Well, your quest is over. Try Body Foundation Food Mix. Contains single-cell plant food, more protein than beef, zero fat, and is instantly absorbed. You won't feel hungry and can safely lose weight. Just mix with juice for energy, protein, and lots of vitamins. Does not contain ephedra. Just the right nutrition so you won't snack on junk. Product guarantee by Apothecary Herbs. Call now, toll-free, 866-229-3663, or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Call Apothecary Herbs now at 866-229-3663 for Body Foundation Food Mix. The name says it all. Mention you heard it here on WeGo and receive free shipping. Don't wait to be healthier. Call now, 866-229-3663.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
Fearful over the latest outbreak of deadly viruses? Boost your immunity with professional trained herbs when antibiotics and vaccines won't work. Wage war against bacteria and viruses and pulverize them with our professional strength concentrated immune boosting formulas from Apothecary Herbs. Strengthen your cells, prevent the spread of infection, increase circulation, improve digestion, and boost your immune system tenfold. Money back guarantee on every product we sell at Apothecary Herbs. Call now, toll-free, 866-229-3663, or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Mention Voice of Freedom and receive a free sample of our organic Heart Smart Salt. Don't wait. Call Apothecary Herbs for professional strength herbs that work. 866-229-3663, or online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, come and ever spin me like a snowball down a mountain or a carnival zoo, like a carousel that's turning, running rings around the moon, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its day, and the world is like an apple whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windows of your mind.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're here, 5x5 out there. I want to let you all know that we're doing what we can to get the truth out there around the world. Let you all know that there are some untruths out there that you're being told, you're not being told the whole truth about. I've got Dr. Judy Wood with me today, and I'm having a little difficulty with my own earpieces, but we've got a little thing going on here. She's bringing forth the truth and information that you're not being told about, and it's located on her website, drjudywood.com. And I want to bring her back in because she has an excellent quote on her website that I've used many times on my own website. "A time comes when silence is betrayed," by Martin Luther King. He said that back in the 1960s. Dr. Wood, come back in and let's go see some more of these pictures and your insight of what really happened on 9/11, and bring us forward, please, as you so desire.
Well, you mentioned about the tipping top of Tower 2.
Yes, ma'am.
It tipped over, it turned to dust, it turned to powder, gone with the wind, never hit the ground.
Yes, ma'am. I remember seeing that. I actually have recordings of that building tipping slightly, about 23 to 24 degrees, and none of that actually hit the ground in bits and pieces, and that's just unheard of.
Not only that, the building below it disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Building 4, WTC-4, the main body of it was right below where that stuff should have fallen. And all that's left of it is just the north wing. It looks like it was surgically sliced off. But a very, very direct cut. You could look in and see dust and stuff in there. But looking at the dust, my second series was Molecular Dissociation from Dust to Dirt. And I started looking at that dust carefully, and there is some pictures that I think you said you haven't told, going to the pages.
Well, that's from my internet service provider. I get blocked on going to a lot of them.
Okay. If you go to Dirt 2, it's the second one in.
With the people walking in the street?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that little icon.
Mm-hmm.
And
it comes up and tells me that the page is currently under construction.
They scroll down the
page. Oh, I scroll down a bit. Okay, I see it. Yes, okay. Now I've got the firefighters and destruction everywhere, and all the paper everywhere. Paper, mind you. Paper. We've got concrete and rebar that's gone into dust, but we've got paper everywhere.
And here we're right across the street from where the towers went away. That's why you got sunlight coming in here. But notice anything odd about this picture? Like by the orange water cooler or yellow water cooler behind it, is this kind of fog?
Yeah, there's a little fog. There's a little fog right there, just on the other side of the water cooler. I see that.
And then you see the guy holding his nose and running, and another folks. This guy down below looks like he just keeled over from breathing, whatever it is.
We have one firefighter that's leaned up against the building. He looks like he's had enough. I don't see the man running. You have a man running, you say?
Yeah, he's running towards the water cooler, and
oh, I see. Yeah,
far right, on their noses and looking up.
Right.
I get to the water cooler in his eyes.
Uh-huh. One guy, he's got his eyes covered, but I see a couple of other people. They've got masks on, but Yeah, I see what you're saying. Uh-huh.
They're in distress. There's something in the air there that's got in distress.
Uh-huh. It's like being around a chemical plant.
Right. You notice from a distance, you notice these pockets of this fog that's drifting around.
Yeah, I see there's different pockets at different places. They kind of stand out like a sore thumb when you really take a good hard look at, if you were looking at the dust, it would be uniform, but in some places you see a fog over the top of the building.
A fuzzy blob.
Right.
And I came up with these arbitrary terms to label a process that I did not know what it was yet. I had to determine it. So I gave arbitrary names to different phenomena that I noticed, and that I called fuzzy blobs. You can't breathe them without feeling over, and they look like they aggressively eat things. You see where it's on the concrete wall, where it's discolored, where they don't know what those are, but I just identified them as fuzzy blobs.
Well, Dr. Woods, I got an IM. I have an IM referring to that came up on this picture. With the amount of dust from the Twin Towers and other buildings being taken down and turned into dust, has there been any investigation investigating this cloud eating up concrete? Like, is there any test on the other concrete that's on the ground?
The government has some dust samples, but they only sampled it where it's faraway places. None of the samples came from where the buildings were, or Ground Zero complex, or where any strange things were going on. It came from other places. Just a few samples, and you don't really believe the samples either. But the picture below this one. You can see a burnt-looking mail truck.
Yes, ma'am.
Right underneath it, you see one of those fuzzy blobs.
Right. It looks like it might be coming out of the exhaust pipe, but the exhaust pipe on that truck is on the other side.
Okay. It looks like it's been eating on the truck, too.
And something's been eating away at the truck, and it don't make a whole lot of sense. It looks like the top of the roll-up door has been eaten away by something that just decided it needed a snack.
Yeah, and it's kind of glowing.
Correct. And then you've got another picture of the I'm assuming it's another mail truck. That's another mail truck where the whole front side of it is. It looks like somebody took a big bite out of it.
It's pretty sorry looking.
Right.
It's down on the pavement there.
Well, the rubber tires are gone. I mean, you can see the frame, the wheel frame. But
pretty odd sight with all this paper around. So why is the paper there if you had all these fires?
I mean, exactly. There you hit the nail on the head. Well, look at we got an IM here from one of the girls that are paying attention out in San Diego.
Okay.
She says. Look at the mail truck. There's a piece of paper right where the steering wheel would normally be.
Oh, yeah, there is.
It don't make sense.
But something ate on that truck.
And
we're assuming it's fire, but to keep from falling into that trap, I say this is a toasted vehicle. And that toasted doesn't necessarily mean burn. It means toast, as in it's history. It's toast. Totals. And we don't know what happened to it. And there's a whole lot of toasted vehicles all over the place there. In another series, I looked at the toasted vehicles, but here I was looking at the dust and the quality of the dust. And if you go a little bit further down, you see some fuming cars. It says figure 49.
With a big shadow on the, a big fog on the left side. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's not a fire. The car is just turning into fumes.
Hmm.
I'm not going to say smoke. We don't know that it's a fire.
We don't know if it's a fire, but the car has definitely been turned into something. Looks like it's been burned to a crisp. However, there's a lot of paper around this car.
Right. It doesn't make much sense. And below that is even more of these pictures where you see this, you know, haze coming up from these vehicles.
Yeah, this one looks like it's one picture with the firemen trying. It looks like they're trying to give some aid to somebody, but over to the left, it looks like there's a car on fire, but it's just a fuzzy blob there, fuzzy smoke, also that's dark colored.
Right, and you see the picture 50B. You got some fuming cars down there, and it looks like something's on fire.
I had 50B did not come up on my on mine. It kind of halfway came up.
If you hold down the right mouse button, it says load.
Oh, it's a film. I'm on a real slow dial up here. I mean, not dial up. A real slow DSL. So that'll have some play on some of these pictures. I see. On 51, you have a picture there on 51.
A video.
That calls tree leaves. Explain that, please.
51 is a short little video clip. And,
yes, ma'am.
You know, yeah, it's not cable TV quality. And it just keeps replaying over and over again. But you'll notice you see leaves on the trees, and you see people running past.
This is the figure 51 just above the one on the trees, okay? There's a rotation there. It says number 7, tree leaves, but figure 51, and then there's a small, this is a small pick frame. It just runs over and over, and it's low quality, but it looks like a chemtrail.
There's a streak that goes across, and that's probably dust on the lens of the camera that light's reflecting off of.
No, this really does look like a chemtrail to me.
The stuff that's dropping down.
Right. It looks like a chemtrail. It looks like one long chemtrail and another one like a little fuzzy, fuzzy smoke there that's underneath it. That also looks like a little chemtrail that started out and then it just dissipates.
But if you look at what's across from us, it looks like, you know, it could be a big Alka-Seltzer tablet that suddenly starts, you know, foaming upwards.
Right. Exactly. And then you go, and the one underneath that one is the one with the leaves of the trees, but then there's areas around it that looks like it's been burnt up, but it hadn't been burnt. And the leaves of the trees are in immaculate condition according to what I've got here magnified up. They look pretty good. They don't look like they've gone through any turmoil at all.
Not yet. And later on, they start looking more. Gets a little one more tired looking.
Oh yeah, I see down here about the third, just under. Yeah, Judy, go to the one on 50, that's 55, Judy. I have an IM here where one of the girls out in Miramar. Not see. She's we've got about 12 or 13 girls in Miramar that get together to listen to this show Monday through Friday.
Well, this group of pictures we're looking at is on West Street, right across from Building 6, and we're looking south. We should see, if there wasn't any fog there, we would see a tall building.
Uh-huh.
But the building's gone, and the pedestrian walkway is there. And later on, you notice the pedestrian walkway is full of dirt. But we don't notice that yet. Figure 54, you see that haze coming up from the street. Just fuming.
Right, that's another picture that's been killed from my DSL service.
Mm.
I've got a partial of the tree in the upper left hand corner. Is that a video that's supposed to be playing?
No, I think this is that one video on this page.
Okay.
In figure 59, do you have that one?
I've lost that lock on that page. I guess I hit the wrong mouse key here. I got a lock on. Just a second. I can't go back. I just need to get rid of that and go to 59. You say?
Yeah.
59, 58, 50. I do have 59. Okay,
it's taken from a helicopter.
The early fuming. Yes.
And that's what I'm calling fuming.
Uh huh. It looks like it, you know. It looks like somebody's got a pile of rubbish on that they burned, and they stuck a lot of other stuff on top of it, and it's just smoldering. But it,
right, like leaves or something.
Right, like if you've got leaves out there burning, and then you come in with a lot of wet trash and throw over the top of it, it just smolders, and that's what that looks like.
It's interesting. You have paper left.
But there's paper all over this building. What do you mean, Judy? There's paper everywhere.
But this in the figure 59, what we're looking at is the base of Tower 1, a 110-story building. That's what we should see right in front of us. But we see the north wall that comes up about even with Building 6.
Right.
That's an 8-story building.
Uh-huh.
So the north wall, we have remaining about 8 stories of the outer wall.
Correct.
Where are the other 102 stories of the north wall?
Yeah, we should have a lot of debris here. A lot of debris.
You don't have a left
but
wall
there ain't
and right
what?
Wall.
Yeah, the three walls are basically gone, and there's not enough debris. Look at the street level. There's nothing on the street.
It's just one layer. I call those wheat checks. They look like wheat checks.
Yeah.
They're prefab sets of three columns wide by three stories tall. In figure 60, you can see three of them stabbed into the pavement there.
I'll have to go down, but I'll go back up to 59, about...
60 is just to the right
of
59.
I don't get 60 at all.
Okay.
But on 59, about, is it halfway? No, it's just a little over two-thirds of the way down. If you look, I mean, you see the street corner. There's no debris on the street corner except a little rubbish pile of stuff. It's like somebody's come in with a broom and cleaned up a lot of the debris around the build, around the tower. You see what I'm saying?
You're talking about figure 61 or
59.
Or 59. Okay. Yeah, it's ground level.
Yeah, it's about two thirds of the way down. You look at it, it looks like somebody's taken a broom and cleaned up the street.
right. It just there's nothing there. And you know, we have that north wall, and we're missing 102 stories of it. And the western wall, you know, a little section popped out into the middle of the street, which is another interesting piece. But the rest of it is just gone. The rescue workers searched at ground level or rappelled down into, you know, the caverns below.
Right.
And there's audio of walking around in the parking garage below. Anybody down there, and you hear an echo.
You hear an echo? Yeah, I hear you. Do you hear an echo?
No, I'm talking about in the parking garage.
Oh, okay, the parking garage.
When the rescue workers were looking for somebody, they say, is anyone down there?
Oh.
You hear it echo through the parking garage.
Oh, okay.
So you can tell from the sound it's not caved in.
See, Judy, we have on this network, we have a lot of echo because we're feeding the signal to New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
And it feeds back, and we get a little echo. Bobby, who is my producer down in New Zealand, she says there's no echo down here.
I had some initially, but it's gone away now.
Okay.
But there's echo in the basement below where two 500,000-ton buildings slammed to the ground.
Yes, ma'am.
It was hollow underneath. It was you could get an echo. In the parking garage under the towers.
No cars, no nothing, just a full echo.
Well, from the sound of it, I don't think the parking garage is full, because you don't get such a nice echo in a full parking garage. I think probably a lot of people left and went home.
A lot of people left and went home out of the Twin Towers?
I think most of the people left the building and went home. But if we go down a little bit further to the next figure, number 61, you see the pile whatever the rubble is left. You can't really call it a pile. They trained us to call it a pile. I just caught myself using that term.
Uh-huh.
That's a psyop. We haven't established there's a pile there. It's just some rubble there. And you see the fumes coming off of it.
Now, would you do me a favor and explain number 61? Because I don't get but the very top of it, and the girls out in San Diego are telling me they only get the first one-third of it. And I want you to describe what you're talking about.
Okay.
You in your caption, it says, "No longer venting, the pile is just now fuming. Most of World Trade Center 3 disappeared during the destruction of WTC-1. The pedestrian walkway over the West Side Highway was connected to something that is no longer there." I don't get to see that, and obviously we've got somebody else out there that's looking.
So you don't see the image?
No, ma'am.
The image is you have a pedestrian walkway going across the street, and then it has a hole there where it used to have something connected to it. You know, whether it was a stairwell or whatever, but it just ends in space.
Okay.
So now if you walk across the pedestrian walkway, you'd have to jump out on, you know, one story down to the ground. So there's nothing connected to it. You stop. And then you look, and there used to be a building there, but there's no longer building. It's gone. It used to be a 22-story building.
I have an IM from London that says, Dr. Wood agree that there is a major problem here because other steel buildings around the world burned for days and didn't collapse, and yet she's got excellent photos here that shows the loss of the Twin Towers and as well as other buildings and buildings that are on fire. Obviously, cars that are on fire are burned, but what are they burned up with paper laying around so much? Does she have any reflection of how this came about?
Yeah, if you know, we could jump to the next series, the will be people who got lost at this point. Let's go down the page just a little bit further, and you know, just bear with me on this, and look at the very next picture.
62.
Number 62. And this will tell you the some big hints.
Well, we've got a lot.
We see an intersection. We have a blue sky in the upper right corner of the picture.
Yeah, kind of a dark blue sky up in the right hand,
right.
The right
and
side.
By the amount that parking lot is you know, fuming over there, I can tell, and also where all the vehicles are. This is about 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes after the North Tower went poof.
Now, this is very strange because I see fuzzy little smoke areas, and I see a whole parking lot on the corner that's where the sign is. There's a sign there on the corner that you're shooting directly in, and that's a big vacant parking area. There's no cars in there. There's nothing there.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of cars in there.
There's
a lot of cars in there, and I call that the toasted lot. They all got toasted, but they're not necessarily burning from fire. There's something happening to them. We're not going to decide what it is yet, but you got black clouds coming off of the parking lot. But in the foreground, you see police officers walking around.
Yeah, like there's nothing going, you know, other than the fact that they're just walking around looking at all the dust, except for one officer appears to be helping another officer stand up.
Look at their feet.
And that's very intriguing because they're walking on this like they're walking right on the ground, and yet there should be so much dust there they would be sunk down into that dust, and there's paper everywhere.
But the key here is, this is one of my aha moments. You have a clear blue sky out there. We're upwind about one block from where Tower 1 just went poof. What's on the ground is dust, and this pretty much proves that it has to be coarse dust to settle out of the air in that amount of time. But then if you notice around the feet of these guys, I call those fuzzballs. Different than fuzzy blobs, it's fuzzballs around their feet. That's ultra-fine dust kicking up. That fine of dust could not have settled out of the air in that amount of time. If it's that fine, it's going to be, you know, hanging for a while. And
oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then look at that figure 65. You see a whole lot of this fuzzballs rising up from their feet.
In 65?
Yep.
Okay, Bobby's telling me we're about to go to break. So, ladies and gentlemen, go to our website, drjudywood.com. We're looking at these videos from her website, and we're showing the abnormalities of what the truth was in 2001. So, pay attention. We'll be here in a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. So, bear with us with all the disturbances out there. Those of you, and I really appreciate the Marines that have muted their radio stations. I don't normally I don't have all of this free power. It is now 12 noon in the central part of the United States of America, and we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few minutes.
Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight is fixed. The poor sick old, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.